11. Stop. Expendable. Stop. When the Rome resupplied at Gibraltar, passengers were given a few hours to visit the shops. Visser took a cab from the docks and down the central streets. His cabbie, like most other residents of the port city, had a British accent. Essentially, this little jut of rock in the Mediterranean at the bottom of Spain was British soil. It irked him to know that they had already left their footprints on so many parts of the world. Their incursions and dominations of the Boers in South Africa was particularly galling. His people. He'd learned to hate the English at the foot of his father, a Dutch farmer, who eked out his living in the Orange Free State. He stopped at the piazza, stepped out onto the paved square, and went into the clubhouse hotel, a three-story building. After waiting in line at the desk, he asked for any messages being held for Mr. Charles Godwin, one of his several identities. The clerk handed him a telegram, and Visser read it immediately, deciphering the guild code without need for pen or pencil. Name of young female agent, Octavia, stop. Expendable, stop. No records for Mrs. Finchley, stop. Expendable, stop. Name of young male agent not known, stop. Possibly Modo, stop. Capture preferred, stop. Bring body sample if killed, stop. Main mission is to observe and report, stop. Further orders in Malta, stop. Agent Modo. Visser had read the young man's file several times. He was described as being extremely strong, and with the uncanny ability to physically change his appearance. Visser would have thought it a wild exaggeration if the information hadn't come directly from Miss Hackendottir herself. Why did they prefer him captured, or a body sample obtained? Was Visser to dismember him? How much of his body was required? Visser would need clarification. He shrugged. Orders were orders. He wouldn't have to kill any of them immediately, which was disappointing. It would be a relatively easy task to stalk them. After all, they wouldn't be leaving the ship until they arrived at Sydney. He sent the guild a message. Orders received. When he turned around, he found himself face to face with Mr. Socrates. The old man nodded and said, "I recognize you from the ship. I hope your voyage has been proceeding well." "Yes, yes, it has, sir, thank you," Visser mumbled, then quickly stepped around him. Was it just coincidence that he was here at the hotel? After all, it was one of the few telegraphs available to the public. Visser stood at the door long enough to observe that Mr. Socrates was receiving messages of his own. Then he noticed Tharper waiting outside the hotel. But the servant didn't seem to take any notice of him. So Visser hailed a cab and ordered the driver to take him directly back to the ship. On the way, he mulled over his meeting with Socrates, but in the end was satisfied that it had indeed been nothing but coincidence.